It's a good thing that the peace of God become the loudest thing in your life, because that means His voice is the loudest thing in your life. It's a good thing I could hear Him to come home. You don't stare a harvest in the face like that and not have to hear Him to go home. Nevertheless, you know what this means? This means He's got something lined out for us here. As far as the Word of God is concerned and foundation, it's going to do work that would supersede me running every single day of my life facing a new crowd. What He's going to teach us about His miracles and His glory and His power in this first world town called Tulsa is going to work everywhere else on levels that would have taken me 100 years to cover. And you know something else? Dividing myself up with the world and the family, I didn't have time for everybody. But getting to do the way God has laid it out, I got time to win here doctrinally, and I have time to win here in this city, and I have time to win with my family.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Why don't you open up the book of Hebrews? And how about chapter 4? And when we begin, it should be around the 8th verse after a real brief passing in review. Hallelujah. Father, again, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, that mighty teacher. And day by day, and the increase in quietness and peace and hearing His voice. We thank You for the walk of the Spirit, which is just another way of saying we're listening to the Holy Ghost enough that every step we take is ordered by God. So as we yield ourselves to You with great appreciation, we glorify and thank You. Thank You, we can know the truth that resulted in our salvation, our freedom. We can know it. So as we yield ourselves to You with great appreciation and gratitude, we are being taught. We are. We receive it with thankfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he made an adjustment inside that caused me to see two things. What the possibility of what's to be poured out on the next realm that we're scheduled to walk in, and how He was beginning to pull some of us through in that realm. I saw how worship would increase. Well, He made an adjustment in my spirit. It's hard to explain how He makes these adjustments. They just show up. When they begin to show up, they start showing up in just a whole nother manifestation of His glory and His power. Such as the upturn in the miraculous, and then an upturn once again in that healing anointing that reaches much further than the physical anatomy. It has the power to reach into a man's soul. And as the church recognized the need and condensed teachings down to things like generational curses, and it's okay to understand there's devils that are passed down through families who have assaulted their own families, abused them, and through trauma and things, devils are transferred from generation to the next. It's easy to understand that principle when they outline nice names for it, and they call it generational curses, and which is fine. Fine, you know, if we like to put labels on things. Start when you bring the title under some kind of law and say that you have to have something besides Jesus to get free is when you start getting messed up. See, some of them begin to teach that they got to stand over the birth of every child and renounce all generational curses, or they'll be born with new. Nah. You know, any baby that I adopt, anybody else is carrying, or any baby that my wife's carrying, I've got authority in that child's life before it was born. I have to stand there and denounce everything when the baby's being born. You know, they'll put you through certain rituals that get you to denounce this and denounce that. Yeah, I like the way Jesus did it. I got the best example in the world. You know, I just kind of liked how he used authority on them and they did what he told them. And the person ran away saying, I'm free. Really? I like all of that. Don't you? I thank God for a dispensation of grace that I have been made a son of God and I have an inheritance. Glory be to God. Holy Ghost is revealing the standing that Jesus has with the Father to me. Not just so I'll know about it, so I can walk in it. Hallelujah. I like having that authority as a son of God. I like having a new nature that set me free. And the more the Holy Spirit teaches me about that new nature and who I am, the more He can empower it and the more free I become because of it. I used to try to invoke more of the Holy Spirit's power in my walk. Yeah, there's really no need to do that. He's at full power in me right now. He can't take it if I've taken Him, or He can't help it if I'm taking Him hostage. Won't let Him do nothing. Stupid believing, stupid teaching. At least most churches let the people get saved and filled. Sometimes they can give an interpretation if it's preceded by yeah. But where your real freedom comes is not because the Holy Ghost got stronger in you. It's because He was able to teach your spirit, which when you entered into the kingdom of God, you did so as an infant. He used all this terminology all the time. Newborn babes, babes and sucklings. When He made those references, He was always talking about a newborn babe entering the kingdom. I'm glad that you hid this from the wise and the prudent, men that are very, very seasoned and wise in the ways of the world, our rulers, our governors, people that rule the masses. He says, I thank you that wisdom, it doesn't originate or come from them, because that's not its source. But you reveal these things unto the babes. When He said unto babes, it's always in our mind. You know, it's just more simple people believe in miracles and prayer and that God answers it. And a lot of believers have proved this to the wise and prudent of the world, that we're not very wise by some of the things that we get tricked or led off into, such as sensationalism. You know, who is sane? What psychologist is sane watches somebody chicken walk across the room screaming and jerking like this? Say, I'm being blessed by God. That doesn't equate to them. How many seen the old-time chicken walkers? I can do it pretty good yet. Yeah. Well, that's just what they take it. They don't know how to. It's not exactly some sane guy standing up there that just broke the theory of relativity. But as Carlton Pearson demonstrated, high IQ is no insurance against deception. No matter how smart and wise and prudent you become in the ways of the world, there's someone that's been around a little longer than you have. He's destroyed about 2,000 years worth of people who were born again before you stepped on the scene. Comes to outthinking you, deviously wisdom, knowing how to take greed and lust, those things, the flesh, gender, take them to the nth degree. He knows how to camp on you, not leave you alone, till he breaks you down, unless you know how to depend on him who set you free. Well, he said, hid these things from the wise and the prudent, revealed them unto babes. He says, no man knows the Father save he whom the Son has revealed him. And that's the very next verse in St. John. You know, very next verse. Meaning, you can't access God through the knowledge of this world. Kings and rulers, wise people, inventors, they can't tell you how to get to him. These things are hid from them, not that he doesn't want them born again. But the access to God can't be attained through anything that they can teach you through their own wisdom and prudence and high IQ and ability to learn. He says, you hid them from the wise and the prudent, reveal them unto the babes. That's these newborn infants coming into the kingdom who has one thing they don't, which is a new nature that has a capacity to understand God. And if you're going to try to get the Holy Spirit to be stronger in you just by merit that he's supposed to get stronger in you, the way he gets stronger in you is getting you to accept who Jesus is by revealing him in you and getting you to understand by the new nature who he and God is. That's what turns him loose. He's already strong enough to do the job. He's working on you. I love the next verses. Hid it from the wise and prudent, revealed it to the babes. Boy, he said, take my yoke. Said, you want to find out where this information comes from? Isn't it interesting? The next verse, take my yoke upon you. But no sooner gets that out of his mouth, we begin to think of yoke. Well, I'm so tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yeah. I know they mean well. He tells you where you get your information. Take my yoke upon you. Well, what might that yoke be? Next half of the same statement. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Only yoke, he asks you to snap around your neck, is the one that derives some kind of commitment out of you to learn of him. He wants going to correct a little more error. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's not from carrying a burden. For I'm meek and lowly. He wants me to humble myself. Yes. And take His yoke upon you. Do what's necessary to learn of Him. And you'll find out the yoke He yokes you with is easy. And the burden He asks you to carry, He's already carrying it. So you should be able to manage it. Hallelujah. Passing in review here. What had happened to me. And what's happened to me is in line with everything else I've always known. And I've been trying to explain some kind of adjustment that's been made in me. And it's letting me see into the next realm some. Well, I've been seeing miracles that's got to belong to that other realm. In Brazil, through a language barrier for no reason of the people's own that they knew of, he just swept through. The sobbing got so loud in every section, I couldn't go on. Couldn't get out in it. The sobbing so loud, nobody else could hear anything else. Just sob and sob. Couldn't even go on with the service till it subsided some. Of course, he's been letting us know in no uncertain terms that he's been wanting to introduce that part of the gifts of healings to this generation because he wanted to get inside and wash a lot of things that accompanies the rebirth. They receive a new nature inside. We got all we need to conquer with right there. But he is offering healing for things attached to the soul that would like to hang on and over-influence your new nature until you're walking in such sight of the world that if people were looking to you to be a testimony of inspiration to get born again by, they might as well forget it after your kicking fight over the kids with the neighbors. You know? But he's wanting to reach inside, and so I understand that healing a little more, that anointing, which I did not the day I walked out of that room I locked up in for a month. But when all that weeping began, I asked God if it was transferable like anything else. Could it be imparted? It was. Not just me bawled like I had some kind of river flowing in me to supply my tears. But people we ministered to for the next 6 weeks, we couldn't stop. And then a lot of people walked away with that anointing. Well, it seems like any kind of anointing, once somebody breaks through and brings it into the realm where it can be ministered to the people, it seems to be available also because nothing can be earned. If hearts are right, he wants to equip you last year. Not next year. The longer it takes, the more consequences and penalties that are paid. We think God always has His way. He doesn't. We think people always wins and goes with Him. They don't. We think that He's always got somebody in standby sovereignly that's not going to fail so they can pull everything out. He doesn't. In fact, it wasn't His will that the hundreds of thousands plummeted into hell over the dark ages because nobody was there to talk to them. None of it was His will. Well, the part I like about this, that when something is finally received, like an anointing like that, and I don't know how many in the world has it, I don't care. None of them gave it to me. I'm just glad that I broke in and found it somewhere in there. No, I don't care. But even after the Seymour revivals, when the whole world tried to crowd through a little un-air-conditioned room, In those days, they didn't know how to receive the Holy Spirit. They had no teaching. Seymour was quite uneducated. They tried to crowd through the room to have some kind of experience, and Tarion was famous. You know, people just come and wait. Seymour spent most of his time with his head buried in an offering bucket or something. He'd just be praying for the crowd all the time. Well, they believed it was Tarion because some kind of sanctification process was taking place, which became doctrine later. Saved, sanctified, and then filled, as though he's going to baptize any part of your soul that lacks sanctification. It was your spirit he went for. Holy Ghost stepped into a spirit that had been born again and has no past and is free from sin. That's what he steps into. And then the soul's transformed by union between those two. Well, I'm understanding healing can reach into the soul and get rid of a lot of things that would like to live in your emotion and cancel out any effect your new nature's having almost. You say, can't do that. Where'd the dark ages come from? What do you mean, can't do that? Glory be to God. Well, then, when baptism of the Holy Spirit with the Seymour revivals followed the great justification by faith revivals, when they broke away from the forms of religion, ceremonial. Justification by faith, they finally start getting born again, which opened the road up for the Holy Spirit to come again, which opened up for the nine gifts of the Spirit to begin to operate again. And some of the first men to receive those things had the great tent revivals at the turn of the century. Well, people would flock into the tents by the thousands. Many of them left working the same miracle that the man operated in whom they went to see. Why? Did they earn it? Because it was available to be transferred. So when something is present, it's understood enough, taught on enough, and since nothing can be earned, and the heart is clean, it can be received. Hallelujah. So, we've seen some great things. So you would think that praying off and on in the Holy Ghost for 30 years, but you'd think that a guy that, you'd think he'd know something about the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know much as I thought. When he made this adjustment inside of me, he reached down and however he does it, turned something. When he turns it, you understand in a realm, you understand things you hadn't before. What confirms it, then it begins to show up in some kind of power. Well, you think I'd know something about the Holy Spirit. And he made that adjustment. And when I was through with the experience and sorting the adjustment out, this one thing I had was more of an utter dependency on the Holy Spirit. Even than I had before when the first big flurry of miracles broke out. We talked about the blind in Hawaii. This time I get to talk about the people in the professional fields, such as eye doctors, dentists, and that, being saved because of undeniable miracles. That's good. We make some kind of adjustment in me. Turns it. I'm sorting out what I got, trying to understand it, just like I kept asking you to please give me time. I'd sort the weeping out. It'd take me so strong in the service that he was trying to pour more compassion out in me, trying to manifest more of it in me. He'd reach my limit all the time. It'd neutralize me as bad as it would the people I was ministering to. But I could hold up under it a whole lot better than I used to. And hold more. I'd just be telling you nice stories if I wasn't telling you something you couldn't have. Wouldn't I? And this adjustment that took place, besides not being like anybody else can testify on this planet, not as faithful as I should be or should have been in praying in tongues. I had my seasons out of it, seasons in. Fought all the wars I preached to you. Experienced most of the strongholds. And I had no teacher to tell me what it was. Most of them would say, that's not your ministry. Praying too much in the Holy Spirit to make you weird. That have some explanation for when the Holy Spirit laid on some ugly thing in them and started pulling it down that they themselves didn't want to turn loose of. Why can't I be greedy and rich and full of power too? Why can't I destroy a whole lot of people's lives with my faults? By leaving them all with me because I enjoy them after reaching a status of fame and popularity. Which would you rather be present on? Their reward? Would you be present there when they receive that? Or how about their loss when they receive the burning, the loss? Which part would you say, excuse me, if you're going to judge the other part, I'd like to leave. I can guarantee you an ironclad way of not having all the trash you put on the foundation of the body of Christ and the church, not having it burned then, when the secrets of your heart are laid bare and you can't hide it from them, nobody else can. But when they're laid bare, it says every man will get his just reward then. Being a little shadow crawler, a little sneaky creature, manipulator. Be right flat out on the table. Last great act of mercy is going to follow you to heaven. Judge the trash. His forgiveness will reach that far and mercy. And you yourself, he says, shall be saved as by the refiner's fire that just got through burning the trash. But if what you've built remains, or any part of it, you get rewarded for it. Aren't you a little glad that stuff you're hanging on to finally gets burned? I got some counsel you can have for nothing. Say this last 15 minutes of this hour is free. If you burn it here, it won't go there with you.
Hallelujah.
You've got a refiner's fire working in you if you'll quit with the fire hoses and putting it out. I don't want to show a hands. If we're talking to your heart, I don't want to show a hands. But if we are, leave your hands down. Hallelujah. Jesus. They made this adjustment. And just in case, I might have thought, well, that's what there is to that adjustment, writing a book like that. And you think a guy knew something about utter dependency on the Holy Spirit. But then you know it. And then you know it. You think you know it. And then you know it. Well, after he made the adjustment, my utter dependency on the Holy Spirit increased. Not by some kind of intellectual decision or switch you have in your mind, but switched because something changed here. And boy, you should hear the words he sealed it with. He made it plain to me that Catherine Kuhlman wasn't, really, really steeped in a whole lot of revelation knowledge, and wasn't a line upon line teacher, wasn't a Greek breakdown person. But he said to me, these things I'm trying to teach you now. This adjustment, these things, this utter dependency you're beginning here. He says, Catherine Kuhlman understood this utter dependency on the Holy Spirit. Therefore, she was able to surrender to him. What would you do if he waved a carrot in front of you like that? So the adjustment he made, in no uncertain terms, he made me know. Not in the realm of I'm called to doctrine, possibly, or revelation knowledge, as per se. You know, what's a man prophesying or praying with his head covered dishonors his head. You know, you don't have to get up in a massive crusade and have the Holy Spirit get them all out of wheelchairs and then get them filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to know why a man prophesies or prays with his head covered dishonors his head. You know, unless you're amongst a bunch of doctrinal people who pin little handkerchiefs on their women's head before they can go out in the public. But you don't have to know that. You don't even have to know that the whole human race came from a single strand of DNA. And that's why God borrowed Adam's rib. He said he took the woman out of the man. He didn't have a little Eve walking around in Adam, fully formed, this other spirit in there, and he's pulled her out and went, ha-ha. He activated a sequence from the DNA he pulled out of his rib. But you don't have to know that to get a bunch of Watusis to put their spears down and get born again because you just raised the chief's son from the dead. You know? You don't have to know those things. Catherine didn't. She didn't know those things. But what she did know is something about an utter dependency on the Holy Spirit. And what she knew caused her to accomplish one of the completest surrenders that any of you and I can date back to and have possibly seen in our day. I was in one of her services. But then again, I was in one of A.A. Allen's. Just one. That's how it happened. Well, the things that he's teaching me has to do with doctrine. And when you understand them by doctrine, then you understand a step-by-step journey into them. Give the world some kind of chance to be saved. Step-by-step journey into them. Just because you want to make the journey to the full equipping of your call. Hallelujah. Well, he said, these things that I'm teaching you now, it's going to cause such an utter dependency on the Holy Spirit that you too will be able to surrender. Hallelujah. Surrender is not an intellectual thing. It's a place you can bring your heart to through fellowship. And nothing will even start you in that direction unless what you're surrendering to is correct. History is full of people whose zeal was not the problem. The devil was just smarter than they were. This is why God wanted your baptism in the Holy Spirit and wanted the teaching to be understood by you how to activate him as your teacher. Because he's as much a gentleman as Jehovah Father, as Jesus Christ, who cannot force salvation on you. What makes you think even after you receive the Holy Spirit, he can force any kind of teaching on you? If you don't participate, you can live and die, and you'll die of a horrible disease Jesus already suffered the penalty for if you don't know how to turn him loose. Teacher, I get to teach you how. Well, in this utter dependency, he showed me, and in the most unusual way, as you know, I jump guns a lot. But then other times, all the other milers stopped at four laps. Not me. I'm going for... I've gone on for 880, you know, 489, 1600. And they say, wait a minute. Wait, son. It was only a one-mile race. And you're trying to win a two-mile race. And he showed me Ronald Coyne and how you can blind a man's eye and he can't see. But when God did the miracle in reverse, I know I'm the one that looked to the back of his eye socket. Just round back there. That's where pirates wear a patch. I could see to it. He opened it up so you could. That was his point. We taped the other eye up so good it'd be a miracle for even any ray of light to get past what we stuck on his face. He couldn't see out of the other eye. We taped it up. He could read your driver's license with an empty socket. He could read any other note you wanted to sneak up that nobody knew. You could pick somebody to write a note. Couldn't be pre-planned. He could read it. Well, God did a miracle in reverse. You can't see angels and demons with your physical eye. He has to do something called discerning of spirits, and that's always temporary. You only see them for a minute. But he did a miracle in Ronald Corn's spiritual eye that's just sitting in there. Every time you turn, your natural eye, that spiritual eye turned. But it couldn't see anything. So God did a miracle in reverse. let him see into a natural world with nothing but a spiritual eye. Well, you know, we left off about this point. Where we're heading is an utter dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And what we preached to you before is all true. The Holy Spirit only has one thing to use that you have. Not two, not three, not four things. It's your new nature. When you come into this kingdom, you come into it as an infancy. As an infant. In infancy. Only thing is you have a new nature that can understand God. Outside of that, you have no facts or figures. Out of the mouth of babes, he said. These newborn babes and sucklings, he said. He's ordained strength to still the enemy. He's talking about somebody being born that's as innocent as a child needs to be taught. And if God gets his way, he'll send the teacher to the nursery. And your walk with the Holy Spirit begins then. The more he can teach you, the more you'll be capable of. But as you know, there's people who has a capacity, a capability to speak in tongues. They do so in services and outbreaks from time to time. They're filled with him. They have Bibles in their hands. And they're smart. They also have a new nature. Very few of them know enough to get God to do anything. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to walk like that. No, I don't. I don't think so. I think God is planning for you to mess this city up in signs and wonders and to follow it up with the pure, unadulterated foundation of His Word. Sorry we didn't make it to the Scripture. But I think we're ready. Amen.